This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you decent podcasts since 2013.
Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Ready, whatever, ready for the world. It's the conversation. This is D Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad, the voice of your choice.
Ah, and we are here. What's good with you, man? Yeah, I just came out the blocks.
Where the block?
We gonna do it? Nah, just out the blocks, just out the starting gate with just whatever felt good to say to the people.
No doubt.
Hello. Hello, people. Hello, Matt. What's up, man?
Hey, man, everything's good, man. Everything's good. We are here. We are in the conversation.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Shout out to the listeners. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to everybody who subscribed last week.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So go ahead, if you're listening right now and you haven't subscribed, hit that button.
Right now.
Okay. The button has been hit.
You know what I mean? Leave a review too. You know what I mean? Something positive if you like. But if you know, if you want to have some spicy shit to say.
Yeah. I mean, that shit is funny.
Speak
like,
your truth.
I had never read the reviews on iTunes.
Mm. I haven't read it in a minute.
Like I always see the comments on SoundCloud all the time. You know what I mean? But I never went and checked out the reviews on SoundCloud. And they go back years. You know, we've been doing this for almost 4 years.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, damn, okay.
Shout out to y'all.
Okay, that's how I know them motherfuckers right there.
Yeah.
Like, that, it was like a good treasure trove of
testimonials.
Testimonials I'd never seen in there.
There you go. Real nigga.
Real nigga.
There you go. Anyway. Ah, shit. What's popping, man? How you doing?
And everything cool, man, out here, you know, doing life. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Just trying to stay up.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You know, when you're on this entrepreneur game, you know what I'm saying? That should be up. That should be down. That should be up.
It's a jungle sometimes.
It made me wonder.
Why that?
I keep from going under.
You
know what I'm saying? But, you know, not even on the front of, you know what I'm saying, money up, money down. It's just spirit up, spirit down.
As energy.
Energy. Like, you know. You do something, you working towards something, and sometimes that shit don't work how you think or don't work in the time that you think. Or you know what I'm saying? And then you got to dig your way back to a energy that's conducive to, you know what I'm saying, creating new shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So on that entrepreneur front, you be going through that. So this week, you know what I'm saying, been punched in the nose a few times.
But you know
what I'm saying? But I stayed on my feet, though.
Okay.
I ain't go down.
They didn't knock me down.
I left a few motherfuckers down, though.
You know, you ever see that? You ever see Raging Bull?
Nah.
He didn't knock me down. He didn't. He's looking terrible. He's bloodied up. He's like, but he didn't knock me down. I didn't go down. That's the shit.
Yeah,
man.
But that's what you got to be thinking in your head, mm-hmm. man. Because it be days where you be doing shit, and it's like, man, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
But then you be thinking, what the fuck else I'm going to do?
Right. Just got to power shit. Through, yeah.
You know, fuck the other side, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to get through this, and I'm going to get to the shit that I'm trying to get to. You know what I'm saying? Because sometimes little fucking shit will seem so big until you conquer that shit. Be like, God damn, that was some little shit. I don't even know why I was even thinking about that shit.
Yeah, it give you perspective when you're on the other side. You just got to power through.
Yeah, so you know, when you know that, you get up and you go ahead, you power through, and you get to the other side.
Right.
You ever experienced that as a comedian?
Hell yeah, all the time. All the time. Like, you know, there's times when you like, you know, when I do New York, I'm always like, shit. Like when I'm doing like a headlining, you know what I mean? New York, when I'm doing spots, that's different. But when I'm headlining somewhere or a city, you know, like even Atlanta, I'm coming down there this weekend.
Word. Shout out to the A.
It's my first time out there. It's my first time in there. No, well, I've done comedy there, but I've never headlined in Atlanta. And, you know, it should be interesting. You know what I'm saying? So many, it's like a second home of mine.
Right.
So it's a lot of people I know that probably never seen me before, shit like that. You know, all of that. Mm-hmm. So you can get in your head about that, and you start thinking about who you are as a comic. Mm-hmm. Like, nigga, you know, but then you got to remember, this is what you do. This is, you know what I mean? This is just another show, though. You can't make it bigger than what it is.
Right.
And then when you get to the other side, you'd be like, wow, I was bugging. You know what I mean? But that's me all the time.
Right.
You know what I mean? I just got to embrace that.
But see, it's weird because it's funny, you know, like, especially in your world.
Yeah.
You have to not only create how you move, you have to create the actual material in your head, you know what I'm saying,
yeah.
that you're going to say right. to make you move. Like me, I could, you know, pick up my camera and go shoot some shit, shoot somebody else's story. Then I could put it together, but you kind of have to write your material and your way.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think probably for you too, though, what gives you whatever your signature is how you put the shit together. So you right. still going to have to, you still got to put some of you in you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I got to create my own content. I got to put that shit together. I got to write it. I got to remember it. I got to recite it. I got to do all of that. And it's cool. I love doing it. You know what I mean? Like, especially when you doing it.
Right.
Like, my thing is when, like, right before the joint, mm-hmm. you could be in your head, you get the little butterflies, you're like, ah, shit. But then when you hit the stage and you start getting it in, you get that first laugh, you're like, okay, here we go. And then right. you do what you do, you know?
It's interesting. I'm shooting this, well, we just finished shooting Rap the Web Series with our director, Tony Ty.
Uh-huh.
And one of the actresses was basically saying how different the words feel once you're doing them as opposed to when you're home practicing them.
Right.
Like when you're home practicing the script, you know what I'm saying, versus when you're up. Do you experience that in comedy where you write down your jokes and shit and you know, you have one way of that you're going to do it when you're thinking it?
Mm-hmm.
How is it different from when you're on that stage and a motherfucker is drinking that drink, looking at you, expecting this joke.
All of that. That's part of everything that you just said. And you can say what you said and say what you said thinking that what you said was going to get that laugh, and it motherfucker drinking that drink might just hit the end of his drink through his straw and it's that quiet. You're like, oh, shit. That shit didn't hit. Or when it do hit, or when it hits before you thought it was going to hit, when the setup is funny. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You don't even get to the punch. You're like, okay. You know what I'm saying? Or it's that moment because it's the connection. It's the real people. Mm-hmm. It's not just you in the mirror or you out loud or you in the page. It's you and the people. And that moment is fucking, that's the beauty of, especially live entertainment, that's the beauty of it all. Like, it's right there. It's the moment. That shit can't be replicated.
Right.
It's there. Yeah, so, I mean, it's great. It's great. I can even see it even in acting, too. Like, if you read in lines, you know what I mean? Or you kind of got your thing. You got your idea of what a character is or whatever. But then when you in a scene with somebody
mm-hmm.
and you need to stay your ass present. And then, you know what I mean? Like, if, depending on how you rehearsed your lines, you might not have rehearsed the other person's lines.
Mm-hmm.
So now you hear them shits in relation to what you said. And you're like, okay, this is a full-on conversation. It's a different dynamic now. There's different shit that I didn't hear before, you right. know? So it's dope. I'm sure, I mean, I would imagine, how's that happen in your life when you're doing productions? What's the difference between pre-production and then action?
Man, really, man, if I'm gonna be real honest and shit.
I would hope so.
I don't really be studying the pre-production shit. You know what I'm saying? I do it.
Uh-huh.
I have to do it. I know it's bullshit. You know what I'm saying? I know what we're going to have to do. And
right.
I know, you know what I'm saying, when we're going to have to do it.
Right.
And I know what it's going to take to do it. So, you know, you're getting the equipment and all that. You got the team together. Everybody is you making sure everybody on point for what they have to do.
Right.
But none of that shit don't matter until you right there in the motherfucking mix and it's ready. It's time to go. Because something like, for me, the way I came into this shit is a lot of times I didn't even know what the fuck we were shooting when we first started. It was just like, you know, here's the time and the address. We need somebody to cover this shit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you would get there and you had to figure that shit out. You're like, okay, this, that. Or somebody would hire you to shoot some shit and it's a whole totally different world.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like in the beginning, I would shoot a lot of stuff with this couple, Joan and George Hornick, and they do a lot of philanthropic stuff, and they, you know what I'm saying? And it's just a whole nother world from where I'm from. So you get there, mm-hmm. and it's people you don't know. You don't know who's the people that they're close to. You don't know who's the hanger-ons. You don't know nothing.
You don't know the scene.
You're just there in the middle of the mix, and it's just a bunch of, you know what I'm saying, rich people in the part of town you ain't accustomed to. You just there.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you had to just, I learned to just, all right, fuck what I think, because what I think don't even matter in this situation. So I just had to look. I breathe. I start slowing my breathing down, and I just take a look at what's really happening and how people are interacting. And the good thing about when you have a camera, you have the license to do that. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? They expect you to be in your camera looking at shit.
Right.
So I use that time to kind of observe how people move and what they're saying.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying, what they're saying to each other and back to each other. And then I started to be able to break down the social dynamic of it. So by the time I'm in the edit, I could tell the edit team, this person, that person, that person has to be in it.
Uh-huh.
And the thing about it, that's what built my company, is that being able to know that shit without somebody telling you was the goal. Because when you turn in the edit and motherfucker ain't got no changes, they're like, oh shit, this motherfucker get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That shit right there, it pays, because now they hiring you because they know they don't have to worry about it.
Right.
They already know he gonna get the right people. He gonna get the people to say the right shit.
Right.
So I don't, like, with that experience, when I get to a set, other than what the script needs to say, or like if it's documentary style, you really don't worry about it. You just worry about what's there and how you gonna fill in whatever you're working with. So I tend not to over concern myself with trying to think about forcing what it should be. Because when you get there, it could be a whole nother shit. It might not even be the same subject. Motherfucker you supposed to shoot might not even be there, and you shooting somebody else. Or you shooting some documentary shit, you don't know what kind of shit you're gonna end up in. You might think you're gonna shoot them in a house. Da da da. You get in the house, they're like, "Yo, dog, this ain't even. We can't shoot in here. Shit, too noisy. Got the, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Got the air condition. You know what I'm saying? Making a lot of noise.
The air condition.
You got, you know what I'm saying? My motherfucking pets barking. So you got to figure out how you gonna do this shit with the things that you have to work with. And you ain't gonna know until you get there. You know what I'm saying? So with a movie, it's different. Like, I ain't never shot a movie, so I worked on movies. With a movie, you're setting the scene to specifications. With the shit I be doing, you are reacting to what the reality gives you, and then you're trying to create a beautiful product out of that. So I tend not to put as much. I put emphasis on the details of specifically the things we need to do a great job, but then when we there, that's when I really go to work.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Jay-Z with no paper. You know what I'm saying? Just get in front of that
freestyling.
Shit. Yeah, I'm getting in front of that shit, and I could spit the whole story out because I know what the fuck this is, and I know what I'm doing.
And you could, and now you could keep your crew. Like, for instance, if it's your own production, right, and you got a crew. Mm-hmm. And you freestyling the pre-production.
Pre-production, you're putting in the work. But when you're there, that's when it's like,
okay,
it's
that's
jazz.
When it's free. Okay,
it's jazz,
all right,
when you're
all
right. There. It's,
okay.
It's improv. You know what I'm saying?
I hear that.
Pre-production is real things that you're gonna need. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Times, dates,
right.
Equipment. You know, locations, things like that. But the actual work and the art of what you're doing is taking place when you press that record button.
Right.
And all of that, that's on you. That's on your instinct. That's on your eye. That's on thinking your way through of what can I make out of this that's in front of me.
Mm.
So when, you know, like when they talk about, you know, like Biggie or Jay or even Lil Wayne talk about getting in front of the mic with no paper and just letting it flow, it's the same. I can feel that. I can't spit words like that, but I could get into a social environment and make something out of that. Mm-hmm. Because that's what I'm used to. That's what I come from. Like just being on the scene. Mm-hmm. Just breaking down the social environment.
Mm. That's what's up. Now I'm listening. That's what's up. That's the shit. Shit, man. Speaking of Wayne, you hit me over the weekend. You said you went and had to listen to the Dedication 6. We was talking about it last week.
Yeah, yeah. And I was concerned about Dedication 6.
Yeah, because, we had a lot of concern for that man last week.
Because I didn't know how his business situation was going to affect his art.
Okay.
And I didn't know how he was going to sound in this new environment.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know if he was going to be able to keep fresh with, you know, the new sounds and the new swag and the new how everything is moving. Man, that motherfucker Wayne still got bars, man.
Wayne always got some shit. Wayne is one of the kings of the couplet. He say some slick shit. He's one of the kings, if not the king, I swear. He's a beast. He say some slick shit. That nigga will say some slick shit. I can't think of anything off the top of their head right this second.
That nigga said, niggas can't tell the difference between a star and an asterisk.
Which is hilarious. And
I'm like, yeah, damn. Who would even put those two together? You know what I'm saying? Like you do when you texting a type and you put it together.
It got Matt fucked up. You see Matt looking fucked up over there. That's what's up. See?
Like, you know, but all of his shit's got some shit in there like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's slick.
All of that shit got shit in there.
I gotta listen again.
I'm fucking with that blacking out record. Mm-hmm. I forget what beat it was on, mm-hmm. but he killed that shit. Mm-hmm. And then them Yeezy sneakers. That Yeezy sneakers.
Yeah, that was hard.
He killed that shit over the Kodak Black beat. Yeah. And then they had like a little beef at one point.
Yeah, at one point. Because Kodak Black wanted to, you know, he wanted to work with Lil Wayne. He wanted to work with Lil Wayne, and I think he was getting compared to Lil Wayne. And then Wayne was like, who's Kodak Black? I don't know Kodak Black. Which is devastating for a motherfucker that looks up to somebody like, who?
Especially when Drake gave him the original cosign.
You know, the motherfucker, you know, he ain't know how to process the feelings. So he was like, fuck that nigga. You know, he went to the obvious rage. And then obviously, you know, at some point they vibed the shit, and now they doing joints together or they've done something together.
Yeah, but he killed that Kodak beat. I heard Kodak on it yesterday.
Uh-huh. No, they did another record too, something about codeine or some shit.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm talking about the Yeezy Sneakers record that he did on top of his joint. Like I heard Kodak's song on it, but then you really could tell the difference between just swag and a cat who got bars and got some swag with his bars.
Yeah, nah, Wayne is a hell of an MC. I don't think he get enough credit. I don't think so. I think since he was, you know, I think with a lot of people, speaking of stars and asterisks, I still think for a while he had that asterisk on because he was a kid. He was a kid rapper who... He really is probably the most successful kid rapper as far as transitioning into adulthood and getting better.
Right.
But for a long time, cats was kind of sleeping on him. Like, he was the young one. Then, I think cats started discounting his shit. You know what I'm saying? Because Wayne liked to rap about pussy a lot.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he did go through a phase of eat too much pussy on the record.
I guess, but I feel like all your favorite rappers do a lot of the same shit, record after record after record. Right. And shit, he was out there eating pussy. But he was putting that shit together in a way.
Lollipop hit so hard. I think that was one of his biggest records.
Yeah.
And then he just, after that, just everything was lollipopped out. Even Yeezy Sneakers is a you know what I'm saying? It's a tale about a woman. But the way he tell that shit, though, is so fucking dope. Like, he go through the various phases of that, like, you know, of the relationship and how, you know, she don't even roll a weed.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying?
He one of the best at that. Like, just the nuance of relationships.
Yeah.
He one of the best. I don't think he get enough credit. He's ill with nuance.
Right.
The nuance and then just the shit that the metaphors, I don't think he get enough credit for. I think because his shit sometimes it's so much. Well, at one point where he was super prolific, it was so much. It was a lot all over the place. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say it was all over the place, But there's not a whole lot of, I mean, Wayne got great albums. Carter 2, Carter 3 was pretty good. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. he's got good albums, but I don't know if he's got a whole lot of albums where it's like, this is Wayne's album where he's, this is his dark album. This is right. his deep album. This right. is, you know what I mean? Like, certain other MCs.
I think, you know, by the, like, he had the period before the Carter 2. And yeah. that it was just, he was just
figuring it
he
out.
He was just making Cash Money records. You right. know what I'm saying? Then he had that Squad Up era when he was just doing 1,000 songs a fucking year.
That was that transition.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then he dropped the Carter 1, and you wish that, damn, I wish the Carter 1 had bought, like, had the type of energy that the Squad Up tapes had.
Mm.
Then he dropped Carter 2, which had that energy.
Right.
And then he was like, kind of figured it out.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, it went from there.
Which was around the same time as the Dedications, too. So he right. had his little, you know, the N1 side of it, too.
Right.
You
so know what I mean? He kind of figured out a good balance of how to put that mixtape energy into the album as well and not just make a Cash Money album mm-hmm. and then some mixtapes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, props to Lil Wayne, you know what I'm saying? I'm glad he's, you know what I'm saying, was able to keep his, you know what I'm saying, his vigor.
Right.
And his wordplay, and hopefully, you know, prayerfully, they could figure out their business and we could, you know,
it is.
Get back to it.
There you go. There you go. Happy belated Martin Luther King Day.
Shout out to the King.
Shout out to the King.
What'd you do?
I worked. See, I worked. I was, shit, I had a spot. What did I do besides that? I mean, I thought about the King. I thought about Martin. I felt bad because I didn't have, I didn't post nothing on Instagram or nothing. You know, you got to mm-hmm. do your, I won't say the obligatory, but you got to check in with your Martin Luther King little photo.
Yeah, but all of them used now.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. You got to go like page 11 on the Google Images.
You can't. Everybody done went deep right. as you could go.
Right. By 11 a.m., if you ain't wake up early enough, all of the fly ones are done. I'm just liking them shit.
The fly ones was done last year.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't have the archives at the King crib,
right.
then you're going to get the recycled.
Yeah. I always feel the same way on Biggie birthday and King. The yeah. same, because it's like, that's when you want to pay homage. You know what I mean?
But ain't no new imagery.
There's no new imagery, you know, because they're dead.
Unless you commission an artist to do something new
right,
and fresh.
Right, right, right,
it's
right,
like,
right, right, right.
You're not going to win.
Nah.
Because all the fly ones have been used.
Yeah.
So.
Matt, how'd you celebrate King Day?
Oh, man, why you put that man?
I just want to know. Matt wanted to talk about it. I see how he linked in.
Can't say, I didn't really do that much specifically, just mm-hmm. was reading all the articles saying that this year, that was all about the article saying, oh, if Martin Luther King was still alive, we'd still be treating him like shit. That was the article. That was all the articles this year were just, nothing's really changed.
Was
really,
that all the articles? I didn't see that article at all. What articles were you reading?
You know, Matt got different algorithms.
Yeah,
exactly. I'm saying just the ones where, oh, like the racism hasn't gone away, and if he was still alive, there'd still be people treating him like shit.
We right.
Like, we revere him because he did die, but like there still is a problem, and we still have to deal with all this shit.
He was killed. He ain't die.
Yeah.
Just well, to yes, be clear, yeah. I've been seeing that out there too. I like that meme.
But he was made a martyr, but he...
Well,
yeah, they don't make martyrs.
They kill martyrs.
They kill them.
That's how they made them.
Yeah. It's not a long career path.
Right. Well, you know.
I'm going to stop before I get myself in more
not
trouble
sad,
here.
Brother, you
there's,
all
no,
right?
there's no trouble, man. It's just they a conversation,
hear what you
man.
Say. We so all you grown. Was reading all of the King hate think pieces.
There's, no. It wasn't King hate. It was saying that...
No, I understand. They're saying America is where it is.
That the problem hasn't gone away just because there's the holiday that we're right. celebrating this holiday.
Right. What you do?
I worked. Uh-huh. We shot the last two episodes of Potty Break is the name of that web series.
Potty Break. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So it's a comedy. It's this right. hilarious comedy right. about two club chicks,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? And each episode is always when they go to the bathroom in the club. So it's a bunch of little shit that happened in there that's always wild and always funny.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Keep on the lookout for that.
Yeah. So we probably have it edited by the end of the month and then figure out the options from there, how to throw it out there and release it. Yeah, but so. You would definitely know. I'm definitely know. We're gonna have Tony up here at one point once we get it done and ready to go.
That's what's up.
Yeah, man. What's happening with you, man? What's going on in your life?
Man, I'm just out here ripping and running. I forget who say that in my family. Somebody older. What you out there ripping and running? Just running around, man. I was in Indianapolis doing a secret project I can't really talk about, but that shit was cool. It was very last minute. It was cool, though. Fucking Indianapolis was warmer than New York. I didn't expect that. But it was a good time. So, yeah, I can't, you know, I had a good time. I was in and out of that. What the fuck have I been doing, man? I've been, first of all, dude, I haven't taken down my Christmas tree yet. I still got my Christmas tree.
You one of them.
I'm one of them this year, I feel. But you know what? I don't even know what that mean, one of them. Because now I'm about to embrace that shit all the way. I halfway want to bring that tree to Black History Month. You know what I mean? And then if we could make it to March, it'd be a Women's History Month tree, and an April Fool's tree, and a, you know, a 420 tree. And then we go to a Cinco de Mayo tree.
A 420 tree is a little different.
I mean, you know, hey. Then we go to June. That's my lady's birthday, so she can get to have a tree for her month. You know what I mean? July, 4th of July tree. See if we can bring that shit all the way back to Christmas. I don't know.
Put that shit in a pot and water that bitch.
Right. I mean, at some point we got to do it. We got to knock it down. It's just, it still look good. And it's been running. I haven't really had a chance to kill it shine. You know what I mean? That tree, that bitch shining.
You know your girl judging you.
No, she in the spot too.
She enjoyed the tree?
Yeah, we all enjoyed the tree.
You supposed to take it down.
I know, I guess so. Yeah, I guess that's what it is.
I wonder when this motherfucker gonna take the tree down.
Yeah, man. I would have done it. I've done it before.
I'm just projecting. Maybe that's what my wife would be thinking.
Yeah.
Motherfucker, when he gonna take that straight out?
I'm trying to tell you, I kind of want to see how long we could go with the tree. This part of me. You ever do that shit? You ever be on vacation? And then, like, say for instance, you're on vacation. This is different shit, but you're on vacation, right? You got a couple days off, and you might not take a shower when you're getting funky. And then you're like, yo,
shit,
let me see how funky I can get.
No.
You ever did that shit? Yeah,
no. Not since, like, 12 years old when you didn't give a fuck. I'm going to see how funky I'm going to get.
Judged.
That's how I grew my beard out. I went to Israel and just stopped trimming in Israel. I'm like, you know what? Let's see if I can grow this out a little bit.
That's
longer.
Different than how funky you
get. Well, I'm not savage.
You know what I mean? But it's just like sometimes you just like, man, fuck this shit. I'm hibernating. I'm chilling.
Woo, I'm stank as fuck.
Damn, man. What was you about to say, Matt? You ain't take your tree down either? Oh, you got the menorah up?
I don't even own a menorah. I'm a bad Jew.
Oh, there you go.
Thing. I just understand when it becomes the challenge to see how long.
It's, at some point, you want to embrace it. You like, yo, fuck that. We almost at least a Black History Month. Could be my little Black Panther tree.
I think the only month I can't think of something for is August. What do you have for August?
No, it's always
barbecue, goddammit.
Then September, you go to the September 11th tree?
Yeah, barbecue
September 11th tree.
Tree,
if you want to be morbid.
The Labor Day tree, okay.
There you go.
The Labor tree.
Yeah, October, that's Halloween, that's me. November, the Thanksgiving tree, and we back to Christmas. That shit would be dope. That would.
The key is you just need ornaments for every single holiday.
Yeah, well, you know, see, that ain't hard.
You gotta redecorate the tree every month.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Black history.
Black history. So we got it. Today I went. I got me a Black Panther figurine.
Over.
I was at the Walmart.
I think you were into it.
I'm not still. I mean, I'm not into it. But
are you investing?
Yeah. That shit might be worth a couple dollars.
I'm like a prospect in this
I'm
shit.
I'm a profit off the movement, baby. That's what the Panther would want. That's what they would want me to do, man. Wakanda, shit, Black Panther is rich. He ain't about that paper. That's what I do respect about Black Panther. He is about his money. That's what's up. That is super to me. What the fuck else, man?
We should have a Black Panther special up.
We gonna do that. I think we gonna go ahead and get some tickets. I looked online because them shits have been selling for at least a week. They have the best pre-sale of any Marvel movie of all time.
Yeah, we should invite some people who are deep into that culture.
Oh, you trying to do like a real special
a show,
situation.
Wakanda special.
A Wakanda jammy jam.
Yeah, so basically, like, if you guys know anyone who's like big into that comic world,
right,
or you know, has deep thoughts on that Marvel world, you know what I'm saying? Shout us out. Send us there at Adam, you know what I'm saying? Let us know
great
what it is. We might build a little panel and make a Wakanda special.
The Wakanda Tribune.
What comes out the 16th?
I think it's February 16th.
Yeah, so something like the February Valentine. Damn, it might be hard to book a motherfucker on Valentine's
Day. We'll figure that out. But what's up with you, man? Speaking of, what's up with you, man? You ready for the future?
Man, I don't know, man. I be looking at shit like, good God, man, am I prepared?
What you mean?
Because it's like new shit come out every fucking day. Not even like clothes. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we used to keeping up with what's popping, right? Uh-huh. Like, you know what shoes is popping, what clothes is popping. But now they changing the algorithm on our ass. This shit, like, you got to know. What the fuck is the future of money gonna look like? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I just got the fucking Cash App, which I'm probably late, of course.
Uh-huh.
And motherfucker, you know, hit me on the Cash App.
Right.
I'm like, man, this shit is dope.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's like, how does this shit gonna shape up? And am I fucking ready? Or do I just, you know, get old and just let all the shit pass me by? Or am I gonna be a player in this shit and get up on these, you know, position myself for future technologies and future-proof my goddamn self.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? So the way that technology is going, the way that money is going, the way, you know what I'm saying, how you getting paid is different. You know what I'm saying? Even in my business, it's like, they trying to motherfucking do AI to do the shit that I do. It ain't there yet, but right. That's the conversation. Like, right. You know, it's how do you stay up on where you at in your craft so that you can still get paid when shit go down. You know? Man. Where do you play in this motherfucker? You know what I'm saying? Do I do some augmented reality shit? How do I fit into the mold of the future? How do you fit? How does comedy fit into all this shit that's popping? I know on one hand, some shit just gonna be fundamental. You know? You get up, you tell your jokes to the people who come into a room. You know what I'm saying? But how can that future shit enhance what you do or take your shit further? Or you just play it the regular?
I mean, I could tell you two things. I could tell you what I feel and I could tell you some shit.
I asked you a question.
Here you go. So,
give me, like, what you feel and the shit.
I feel like I wish I was a little bit more open to the future. I wish I was a little bit more of an early adopter. I could see it coming, but I more often than not could be wary of that shit. Like, I don't know, like, you know, face, like, first, this is the thing. This is the thing I wanted to tell you. You can't stop the future.
No doubt.
That shit. So, but I'm saying that for a reason. You need to understand that. You can't stop the future.
You can't.
No matter how wary or how resistant you are to that shit is going to blow past your ass.
Yo, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And either you going to be with it or you going to be chasing after it,
sitting
looking
on
crazy.
Sitting on the porch.
So the goal is just to always embrace it. Try to, you know, I think the future is one of them things where it's in line with your gut sometimes. Because if you got vision, you see how the future's shaping up. You see opportunities in the future. And it's at that point, when you see those opportunities that other people might not see, you might have to be on your Marty McFly and say, fuck it, I'm going to wager on this vision. And then what happens is you become one of them motherfucking pioneers in the forefront. One of them people that saw it. You know what I mean? You might look crazy in the beginning, but if you can put your flag down and embrace what's going on and create content or community or whatever the fuck in that space, you a bad motherfucker. You always rewarded for going forward. You know what I mean? You always, you know.
Yeah, sometimes you're not, though. Sometimes you get that too early and that shit don't be shit.
Yeah, but I think you come up with a story. And I think the motherfuckers that did set up shop, they know you were there.
That shit don't pay your motherfucking bills.
They pull one out when they count.
I done been a lot of motherfuckers when motherfuckers knew I was there.
So, like, for instance, it's Bitcoin shit.
Right.
I haven't jumped into Bitcoin shit. Uh-huh. And I feel like the Bitcoin shit, you know, the people that jumped in when they were supposed to jump in, they feeling good about it.
It's feeling real good.
You know what I mean? So now it's the new wave. This shit, it feels very hype beast-ish.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, Bitcoin popping. Now you jumping on it. So some of y'all might benefit.
You gonna let that stop you?
No. I'm saying some of them might benefit from the wave.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them might. Some of them might not. You know, the thing is, it's about what it, you know, what it's for you. We talking about Bitcoin.
But even on that, right? Say on the cryptocurrencies and the blockchain and all that shit, right?
I'm nervous about that shit.
But again, you can't stop the future.
No, I know.
And what they're doing is building how that shit is going to look and how that shit is going to play together.
You know what it is? As far as cryptocurrency and Cash App and Venmo and all of that other shit, like I got a Cash App. I got into it. I even got Venmo. I haven't linked it, but I got Cash App. That's linked and ready to go. I use PayPal, whatever.
PayPal. Right. If you got, well, go ahead.
But anyway, if you got PayPal, you already
is raping you,
right?
Compared to what the Cash App is getting.
All right. Well, look, this is my thing though. That whole
cryptocurrency.
No, blockchain. My whole shit was.
With fake
the blockchain.
Money.
One is that. It's that it feels like fake money, even though it's real money like a motherfucker.
I mean, it's real numbers.
But it's also the beauty of cash was you off the grid.
Right.
Cash is, it ain't no trace back. I don't even like, I just returned some shit and they was like, yo, let me see your ID. I don't like that shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be logged into some database.
But
you can't stop that.
But the thing is, with the blockchain, you know, it's been ways to be able to do it stealthily. But again, what they're doing is being able to register everything that's bought with each particular dollar on the blockchain, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're working through if this is the way to actually do banking. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They testing it out. Of course, you know what I'm saying? It probably ran first in the underworld and to get it going, you know, that monopoly money, get it going and see how it actually plays. And now it's entering its way into mainstream business and banking.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't stop the future on one hand. And if you get, you know, stuck on cash and then they say, you know what? Fuck the cash.
Well, you're already
cash
doing
is
that.
Done.
There's places in the city that don't take cash. Sweetgreens. They don't take cash.
You're
a little
sitting around with all this cash.
I still like counting cash.
Yeah, of course.
I can count $67. If it's in good denomination, that should have felt great for about 15 minutes.
Of course, counting cash and getting that ink on your hand, that shit is nostalgic. That's good. That's getting money. You know what I'm saying?
Cryptocurrency feels like Sonic Rings.
Yeah. Pokemon.
Like, yeah, it don't feel real enough.
But
which is scary too, because you could be spending wild cryptocurrency, feeling as though you know you're in a video game and your ass is impoverished.
But you could do that in your regular bank card.
Yeah,
your bank card is cryptocurrency. Oh, there's a bunch of numbers. All you doing is swiping, swoop, until it's gone.
Nah, but overall, man, yeah, I'm with it. I'm with the future. The Cash App shit, you know, it's part of the wave. You gotta embrace it. I was hesitant, but you know.
It's government all in your paper now.
It's part of the wave. Yeah, man. I mean, everybody. It's just part of the wave. It's part of, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what goes on. I wish I wasn't so reluctant about the future.
Right.
You know what I mean? It is what it is. What about you, man? How you feel about all of this?
I tend to be more reluctant about the future as well. Or at least I'm not an early adopter like some people. I let the kinks get worked out first.
Right.
When it comes to cryptocurrency and all that, it's not really being used as a money. It's more of a commodity. It's just, okay, right. This is an investment. I'm going to sit on it and wait for my money to grow. You're not going out and saying, oh, I'm going to go make a transaction with this Bitcoin over here.
Right.
No, it's a commodity. It's an investment right now.
Well, I'll tell you this. This one happened with one friend of mine about a year ago. A good friend, his lady, I don't forget, she was doing a paper or some shit. Somehow by some she got a virus on her computer, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forget. I think it was called the Rambo virus or some wild ass virus. The virus was so crazy that the shit shuts your entire hard drive down. They got your shit. They tell it and they say, yo, it's a wrap. You can't. I think the more you do, the worse it gets. But they got your shit. But they got your shit hostage.
Right.
And they're like, yo, it's going to cost you $700 in Bitcoin for us to relinquish your hard drive to you. That's how I got introduced to Bitcoin, because my homie was out there scrambling trying to get some Bitcoin. I heard about that from there. And then cats, you know, like in these video games, a lot of people, these role-playing games or like even like 2K and shit like that, where you could create these players, or where the better you do in a game, the more your character gets better attributes and becomes more and more expensive. There's a hustle where people play video games, get these characters dope as fuck, mm-hmm. and then sell them shits on the black market on some Bitcoin shit. That's where I first heard the Bitcoin shit. But
people act like, you know what I'm saying, that's a crazy idea. Like, people don't spend real cash on illicit ass shit.
Of course.
That's like people spend real cash on all the same shit.
No, of course.
So
it's just new money.
Right.
It take a minute to get used to new money, especially when everybody's been saying this dollar was the almighty dollar.
Right.
Now we got some shit that you can't even, it's shit blinking like a cursor. Exactly. You don't even know what your money look like.
Yeah, I mean, and so it's,
what does a Bitcoin look like?
It look like nothing.
Right.
Like
a whole bunch of numbers that you wouldn't understand.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Nobody would understand. Okay. That's the whole point, is you can't understand. That was
pointed.
It looked like the same shit your bank account shit look like. Except, you know, some numbers on the screen. All right, what's my value today? How much of it I got?
There's a lot of that. That's true.
You know what I'm saying? That's
true.
That's it. And the bank's so funny style. Now they be playing games with your shit. So, you know, it's all, the future is here, man.
And how you feel about the future?
Man, again, I don't want to get left behind on shit. So I be trying to be up on some shit, because the future was always interesting to me. You know what I mean? I always felt like I wanted to know what was next and try to put my eye on what's next. Whether, like I said, in the beginning, it started with clothes and style and the music. You want to be first and you want to, you know. But then the exercise of that, you start to realize what it kind of takes to be the next. And so you just how people invest in stocks and invest in money things in that same nature, and companies like that, it's like, investing in people in the same way. It's like, oh, that motherfucker right there got something.
Right.
You know, so for years, that's what I do. You know, that's how I move. I understand, okay, that motherfucker right there going to be doing some shit, because what they doing now is ahead of the curve, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's some people that just live out on the horizon. And most of it, like all of it, is really just information. The more information you have about a certain thing, the better you can position and predict what's going to happen. Not that you can all the way know, but you can be in a better position to put yourself in a position. So information, information, information. And so it's just taking the same thing that you once knew about people in style and the hottest club and, you know what I'm saying, what's going to be next. And putting that same thought process and the information of what's coming next and how this blockchain shit is working and how, you know, the future of media is looking and how this fucking Facebook algorithm change is gonna fuck shit up and all that, you know. So for me, if I don't know about the future, if I don't invest time and thought into that, then I lose automatically. I lose today. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't lose in the future. I lose today, because the way my shit be moving, my business move, shit changed today, and your shit is fucked tomorrow. You know, it's like, okay, when we first started, it was one thing. You know, we doing all this, and you got the high-tech look. And then, shit, new phone come out, got that same look. And then next thing you know, your phone don't ring for that kind of shit no more. So you got to kind of be up on how shit is going, what technology is going to affect your shit. Mm. And so for me, about to launch, you know, a media property that's that was going to do video on Facebook because the last algorithm said, you know, if you did video, you had a higher chance of doing shit. And if you did it through the Facebook video player, you had a better chance of the shit rising up. Now they're saying, fuck, if you're coming in as a business or a brand or any shit like that, that shit's not even going to make it on the feed. You got to go to a whole nother section that nobody don't know to and don't go to. So, you know, you gotta understand what's happening and how you're going to move. So now your decision is different. Now, fuck that. We got to do it a different kind of way. We gotta do hand-to-hand combat in another kind of way. And that's right now, today. That ain't even the future. That's like companies are changing their whole strategy based on that announcement.
You got to do hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah, as far as my business, hand-to-hand combat meaning you're going to have to get down and figure out a new way of doing it, which usually means going person to person, hand to hand, and figuring out how you're going to get your product to the people that you want to view it. You know, your hand to hand would be going to the shows and getting on the mic right there in front of people. So say if you switched and you got this TV show and a sitcom and a movie and you busy and shit, you got all that shit popping, but you ain't doing your hand to hand in the clubs. And then your movie shit start failing.
That's what you're saying.
And people don't want to see. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, people is that, you know, that real interaction, meaningful interaction with people is what social is all about.
Right.
Whether that's on the computer, whether that's in real life, whether it's on the phone, the text, whatever. Meaningful relationships with people is what this shit is all about. And the better you do it, the better prepared you are for the future, no matter how it shake out.
I hear that.
But then you got to keep your money up.
Just in case in the future.
Motherfucker, people ain't fucking with you.
Oh, man. What else is going on, man? You got anything else on your mind?
I'm kind of parched. I've been doing a lot of talking.
Oh, yeah? You feel like you've been doing too much? All right, shit.
Well, tell us a D-Lemon tale.
I don't even have
Tales in D-Lemon Tree.
I don't really have any tales right now. I'm trying to think of anything. I don't really...
What you watching, D?
What am I watching? I'm trying to get down into some of these Oscar movies, you know, these for your consideration movies. So I was watching Downsizing. It was a great concept. Downsizing is about Matt Damon movie where basically the thing is the world, you know, it can't really accommodate all of these people, right? Shit is too many people coming and it's we're burning up all of the resources, blah, 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 blah. However, there's this new technology to where you could be shrunk down to about 5 inches, like, I forget, 1/37th of yourself or some shit like that. The what comes with that, though, is when you shrunk down, like everything's kind of in abundance. You know [S2] Right. [S1] What I'm saying? Like, you don't need as much to live when you as big as the G.I. Joe. You [S2] Right. [S1] Know what I mean? Like, all your budget goes way down in your assets. So, for instance, this one cat... When you get shrunk down, there's a bunch of little communities you could go see, right? So one of the communities was called Leisure Land. And they sitting there, they chopping it up with the Leisure Land consultant. Niecy Nash was the Leisure Land consultant. And she was selling them on it. And she was like, look, you got $112,000 in assets in Leisure Land. Now you got $12.5 million. This is how you living now. So this is Matt Damon and his wife, played by Kristen Wiig. And was it Kristen Wiig? Yeah, it was Kristen Wiig. And so they sold, you know what I mean? They were strapped for cash. They were somewhat living, but they wasn't thriving. So it was an opportunity to kind of change everything. And it's him and his lady, right? And his wife, and like, yo, babe, you want to do this shit? She's like, all right, let's do it, you know? So they going through the whole shit, and they getting ready to, you know what I mean, go to the transition. like they take off their rings and all of this shit, and they go into the little, they on the bus, and on the side of the bus is all the other little people that have been transitioned, and they looking over, and they like, oh, you about to go transition? Best thing I've ever done in my life. You know, that type of shit. It's like, all right.
They talk like that, that little voice.
Yeah, it's small. It's small. You know, little people. They use megaphones to be heard and shit. Like, it's
to be heard by big people?
Yeah. It's interesting because when they interact, like, it's like having a G.I. Joe speak to you. And it's like, this is still your man. Y'all all used to drink beers together, but now he's smaller than the fucking...
So you can still hang out with your big friends?
You can still hang out, but it's a whole, like, thing. When they bring him out... Like, they bring them out, like, in a little case. They hold in, like, this little pole because it could be turbulent until he settled down. And obviously, there's so many things where the movie could have, if you wanted to, you know, if you wanted to go anywhere, anybody could have just got drunk and got mad and just smacked the shit out of one of these little people. But you didn't see that.
Right.
You seen a little bit of beef. There was a little bit of beef where it was like, one cat was like, yo, do you think y'all should be able to vote for president? It's like, yeah, why not? So, well... Given the fact that you guys don't contribute as much, y'all don't even create, you know what I mean? So it already, the schism, there's already the beef. So anyway, so they get to the transition spot. And, you know, both of them are, you know, a little nervous about it. Matt, Kristen Wiig, you could say, and so they go into the transition and they call Matt Damon's character. And he walks up with his wife, Kristen, and shit. And he's like, no, you guys, you're going to the men's, you're going to the women's, you'll meet at the after the transition in the recovery room. That's where you'll see each other. So he's like, all right, babe. They hug each other, kiss and shit. So then, boom, he goes through his transition. They go, you know, the transition shit happens. And then he's in the recovery room chilling and shit. And then, you know, he's waiting. He's like, oh, my lady.
Hey, fuck that.
Hey, my lady. And then they like, yo, because, you know, there's a very small chance of people dying through the transition. So you're like, oh, shit, I hope this lady ain't die. So then they come back with a phone and shit. They say, hey, listen, this lady on the horn like, hey.
I didn't want to be little. You little dick motherfucker. I'm out.
She definitely said some sort of that. She was like, listen, I had some reservations because they shave your head and all that shit. She said, they started shaving my eyebrows and I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Which was super fucked up. That was fucked up. Oh, man, so now he literally shit. He by himself. And now he don't got the same income no more because it was a shared income. Right. So now it's a little and he's
damn broke.
Yeah, he a little broke. He ain't all the way broke because then we find out later on, like, there's a fucked up area in, like, just outside of Leisureland where shit is horrible. So... All of that said, initially it was funny, it was creative, it was a cool thing, and then it kind of takes a turn into the cliche, and then some of the characters, like there's this Vietnamese woman who like speaks in a real weird way, like, and I don't know if that was problematic, you know what I'm saying? I mean? I don't know what the thing was, but I thought that was, it felt a little cheap. And it, like, the story didn't really challenge you as, it wasn't as promising as the fucking, the premise was. Premise. So, I also went to go see Star Wars, The Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
I fell asleep in that.
No.
I kind of might have known I was going to fall asleep because that shit is almost 3 hours. And we got the IMAX piece. And as soon as I sat back in that shit, I felt like, oh, yes, T-minus 20 minutes. I'm going to be gone. And I definitely was going out of that. I felt like I popped in and popped out. That shit, I feel like it's the same movie the last three Star Wars. I felt like that shit could have been an hour shorter.
Man, like I've said on here, you know, I haven't, whatever that last one was the first one I had ever seen.
Out of any of them?
Out of all, from all of them.
I'm going to keep it 100 with you. I might be in the minority saying this shit. I think you're good. I'm going to be honest with you. I think you're good. I mean, there's some shits that are great. Actually, they're classic. Go see them. But I think they're classic in the way, like, I don't know if all of that shit still holds up. Some of it starts to look a little dated.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
It's the future back then.
Because, you know, I guess in our situation, going to the movies wasn't really... a thing, you know what I mean?
Like, in your family?
Like, yeah, like, you know, at that particular era.
Yeah.
You know, so when we lived in Liberty City and
right.
in the hood, you know what I'm saying? Grandma's house was the entertainment. You know what right. I mean? I think we probably wanted to see Jaws at a theater, some shit like that. Right. But it wasn't never a pressure to go to the movie theaters.
Right.
And then when we moved to Carroll City, and it was still white at the time, we had Joey, Aaron, and Paul. Those were the white boys who were my age that lived on the block. And Paul had the whole fucking Star Wars toys, all the fucking shits with all the Star Fighters and, you know, whatever the name of the big Millennium Falcon and all that. He had all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, damn, what the fuck? Right. But I was more into the toys. I never really cared about watching the movie. Like, yo, the toys are dope, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way. I mean, I'll say this. Star Wars in particular, their characters, design-wise, are some of the dopest-looking characters. Yeah, there was some
modern future shit.
Yeah, still to this day. Like, they got some flash. They've even added a few new characters. And you like, all right, they kill that. It's just, I feel like the storyline is a little slow. You're like, all right, I get it.
But see, it's something, I guess, to be said about the story itself, and that while it may seem come off slow or dated or something like that, something about the way they put that shit together has lasted and stuck with people in such a way that shit, you know what I mean? Any storyteller wish his story stuck around like that.
Yeah. What you about to say, man? Man is foaming at the mouth. I can't believe you shitted on Star Wars.
No, I'm not gonna. I think the reason that it has the place it has in history nowadays is just because it was the first to do it like it did. It was the first one that came on the scene. Nobody had seen something like that before.
How you know?
I'm a fan of history.
Okay, I'm just saying.
But are you disagreeing with that?
I mean, I'm not disagreeing. I think it's benefited from its There's a lot of, what's the word? Like, just it's benefited from the mythology of it. To your point, I don't know if it was the only thing that did it. Because, again, I was young, too. So I can't really compare it to what else was going on. But Tron was out there, Battlestar Galactica, shit like that. It just felt, for whatever reason, people did clip onto it. I don't know if they was first, but go ahead. I was just being contrary to be contrary.
Well, I think it was like, it was graphically, it looked so much different than everything else previously. And it did create the lore, like few other very few things ever had. I mean, it's in the same category as Lord of the Rings in terms of the lore,
right?
And they were very like the first three are excellent films. Whether you're going to get into the series now, it's whatever. It can be whatever.
Right.
What I did really like about the new one, personally, I know this is controversial, but I thought it was the one that finally just kind of said "fuck you" to the past. We're telling a new story now. Like the way you keep going forward with this is you don't keep doing the same thing over and over again. That's you actually saying. Tell because, a new goddamn story.
Because Disney bought it now.
You felt like this was the same story George as Luke which one?
No, I thought this was saying the last one was The Force Awakens was kind of saying, okay, we're rehashing, like we're rebooting this trilogy,
right?
We're rebooting this series, and they did a lot of paying homage to the past. It was the same story as A New Hope. Oh, there's this big planet destroying space station that we need to go take out.
As the New Hope? The New Hope is one of the other ones?
That was kind of the same. It was
that's from the Jar Jar era, the New Hope.
No, New Hope is the very first one ever made.
Star Wars?
A New Hope was episode 4 with Luke, you introduced Luke Skywalker, Han Solo meet up.
But that's the prequel joints that came out later on.
No, that was the 76 one. I'm talking the very first Star Wars ever made.
But when was it? It was called Star Wars?
A New Hope.
That's what it was called? That's the whole name? First,
yeah, when
I always just called it Star Wars. All right, go ahead.
Was it Star Wars, New Hope, then Empire, then Return of the Jedi.
Okay, all right.
So that one paid its homage, did all that.
Go ahead.
Like,
go ahead, keep going.
It's too late.
Just paid tribute and did all that. And this one, it just kind of said, "Fuck you. This is a new story. We have to do new things. We're not going to do the J.J. Abrams thing of just having, oh, we're going to keep hiding. We're not going to hide these Rey's identity to reveal it later. We're done with this. She's nobody." The Force does not just live through this one family. There's a new story. There's an entire universe to explore, which is what was so great about it in the first place. It doesn't have to run through one family.
Right.
This is a whole totally new story. And for the first time in Star Wars in a long time, I was actually on the edge of my seat. I didn't know who would die. I thought major characters were going to die.
Mm-hmm.
it was an exciting Star Wars the first time in a long time for me.
Right. That was the last one.
The newest one.
The latest one, The Last Jedi. Yes,
The Last Jedi. I know it's
a the lot one of, that we just saw.
Yes,
the one you slept on. You didn't see
the people, one now with the new, because that little kid's probably going to become the new Luke Skywalker. The thing is, though, Luke Skywalker could always come back, for what I understand, when they disappear like that and they leave the little cloak. That means that he's gone, but he can always come back. So what is new? It's like they put the seeds down for the new one. That wasn't...
Well, it's saying so they killed the Sith Master. He's nobody. There's one evil guy.
Was that guy Sook? The guy
Snoke.
Yeah, that's the guy sitting in the chair.
Yeah, so he's the major leader.
Has he been in anything before? Because I never
seen
this
guy. Just the last movie before it. This is only the second movie.
All right, so go ahead.
And everyone thought he was going to be so... Everyone was going about, oh, what's his background? What's this?
So he killed him.
And then you also kill the Jedi Order. The last Jedi... Hopefully I don't spoil
it
too much.
But, I mean, fuck it. We do that over here.
So the
59 minutes in at this point. And
they just say that, oh, the Jedi Order is finally dead. These books over on this planet are just books. It's a religion, but it doesn't eliminate what's actually going on in the universe. The Force is not just about the Jedi, it's about the universe, and it's a greater force than just people who revere the religion.
You took a deep dive on that shit.
Nah, man, you asked him a question.
No, I didn't. I'm just saying, he took a deep dive, and I wasn't prepared for that shit.
I didn't think I was either.
Now you hit him. There's some people listening that were like, speak that shit, Matt.
I'm going to get some flack on this one, I'm sure.
You think so?
Oh, I know a lot of people hated this movie. There's a lot of people.
A lot of people hated this one? Well, go ahead.
A lot of people are just saying, oh, it strays too much, too far from Star Wars canon. It's not, like, it's a great movie, but not a Star Wars movie.
I've heard people say this is the best one yet.
I tend to agree with that one.
Think it's better than any, even better than A New Hope.
Because, like we were talking about earlier, if you want to actually keep something like this going, you can't just keep doing the same thing expect to pay
can't
off.
Be Spider-Man.
You have to see where the future is going and do something new. You have to be on the forefront. You have to be... It's pushing different boundaries now, not just trying to rehash the same trilogy as much as you can.
Right. Yeah, because the corporate structure has it now. Disney bought it from George Lucas. Now they have to actually keep that shit profitable, that money back.
Exactly. And I was surprised that this was a Disney movie. It didn't feel like a Disney movie. It didn't feel safe like Disney.
They didn't even put no Disney branding on it either. That's part of
it. No, the money go to the same place.
I mean,
good.
Disney owns so many brands at this point that there's production companies that are owned by Disney that you wouldn't know are Disney unless you looked it up, I'm sure.
So it's probably not, it's probably not just a direct Disney movie. They're just under the umbrella.
Yeah, they own it. Just like they own ESPN and ABC and shit like that.
Right.
And Marvel.
Right. But Marvel, you know what I'm saying? Like when it's direct Disney, it's like a Dumbo, it's like Mickey.
Yeah, that's a brand.
Which is the icons of the brand.
Yeah, it's a family brand. It's right. Like, you know.
That's what I'm saying. So it's got so
Lion
big,
King
the umbrella
and shit like that.
Right. But then the umbrella can also encompass ESPN, right. The View, like right. Star Wars and shit right. Where they can have their own identity.
So it's Disney branded stuff, and then there's just assets to this major corporation. It's assets to the mouse.
Right.
And what they actually produce themselves.
And see, Disney is trying to play. Right. They trying to play within that Netflix, cable, networks, cable. They already got ABC, ESPN. So now they got to conquer this nuisance of a Netflix.
Well, they might be one of the few companies that can really compete with Netflix on that scale. Because I know CBS is trying to do it, and they're trying to lure people away with Star Wars. But... besides a bunch of old people, who's going to go watch NCIS on demand and stuff like that? Disney has so many brands that they're going to get just the children's movies alone. Every parent's going to get the Netflix type subscription for Disney just to put their children in front of the
screen. Oh, you're saying if Disney just pulls all their shit from somewhere else?
No, that's what they're doing.
Yeah, they're pulling everything together. So if you're going to put all the Disney animated films and all the Marvel and all that stuff under one umbrella that's not Netflix. Right. A lot of people are going to get that, if for no other reason, to keep their kids entertained.
Well, that's basically what's happening anyway. It's just reconfiguring cable.
Right.
It's just you're going to have to buy the Netflix app. You're going to have to buy the Disney app. You're going to have to,
at this point, this shit getting too expensive. Okay? I'm already motherfucking $80 in on shit.
Well, it's what you working with? What you
working
with?
I got Netflix, Hulu, Amazon. Uh-huh. Amazon paid for itself through the shipping shit, so that shit is cool. It's $99 a year, but shit, all the little shit we order, that the shipping shit pay for itself.
Yo, I don't know if you're paying attention to Amazon, though. Amazon, this is some interesting shit, because they about to take over shit, too.
They are, like, they are.
Well, no, but you know how, like, Amazon, when you pay for that, you get the free 2-day or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they use FedEx, they use UPS. But if you notice, the Amazon box don't let none of them markings on it. There's no UPS, there's no FedEx, right, because they want you to get in the mindset of Amazon delivered that, because they're going to start their own shipping and fulfillment. They're starting to buy these places out. So now they're going to like totally cut FedEx and UPS out of the play, yeah, and be their own self, for, you know, self... whatever. You know,
so, man, you know, the thing about they got all that. They own Whole Foods. They out here. They got it cracking.
Some other shit too. I forgot.
So that pay for itself. Amazon pay for itself. That's cool. Then you got what? I got Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, HBO Now, motherfucking Stars when Power is out. fucking Tidal. What else the fuck we got? What's that? Six? That's a
lot.
That's almost cable. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm missing something, but
Apple? You don't got Apple?
I don't have Apple currently.
Showtime?
Nah, I'm not getting Showtime. I'm not. They really got to step their fucking game up. I watched the show though, but I had to get that by other means.
Nah, I feel you. I just kind of started. I only got Showtime through Hulu, because you can get Showtime through Hulu by paying just a couple dollars more.
Oh, okay.
On the side. Mm. But then, yeah, they just got a little bit.
We'll see if the show get a second season.
Yeah, I think it's gonna happen.
But I haven't even finished the first episode. I was watching that on the way right before I came here.
Oh,
all right. But you know, again, all of that shit is, you know, it's all shaping out. I'm trying to figure out, where do I land within this hemisphere? Where's my Wakanda? Where's Muhammad the land?
I don't know, man.
Where's little Muhammad the, where I could plant my flag and you know, tell my stories and bring in my tribes.
You gotta create that shit.
I know, that's what I'm saying. It's like, that's the whole point. It's like,
yeah.
You had to create it, you had to plan it, you had to put it there, you know, before you're irrelevant. So mm-hmm. you had to plant your flag. Mm-hmm. You know, just like we here in this podcast space, you know, we've been here for a while. We weren't the first, but we weren't the last. But we really gotta, you know, plant the flag and let them know mm-hmm. that we casting too. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So if you listening, you know what I mean? You got to let them know. That tell a friend shit is some real shit.
Absolutely.
Because the flag is waving, and now we got to recruit and get more troops.
There it is. Hell yeah.
I need you to put a little more bass in your chest. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's what we doing. We on the court.
Is this a rally, nigga? You turned into a rally?
This is a motherfucking rally, nigga.
All right, then. We here. People is here.
Matt, we right. You with us?
If you listening,
I'm with you.
All right.
Tell somebody right now, even if they can't hear, just put it on for them. They ain't going to know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But put it on for somebody right now.
Put it on.
Forward your favorite episode of The Conversation to your enemy. And your friend.
To your ex. Or if you can get into their phone, just subscribe for them. They won't notice.
Absolutely. You know, ooh,
hit us up with some messages that we should leave for your ex.
All right. Where you gonna be at this week, man?
I'm gonna be here. Right. I'm here for the next couple of weeks, just in the lab, man, building out the Muhammad.
There you go. I hear that shit.
But you can catch me at the Instagram at Mr. Muhammad. You catch me on the snap at Thorough TV. And shit, man, I'm gonna be out here shining, man, fighting the good fight and making shit happen.
That's what's up.
What about yourself?
I'm gonna be in Atlanta this week. I'm gonna be at the Punchline from Thursday to Saturday. Six shows, I'm doing that. And then I'm gonna be back in the city after that. On my way to Atlanta, I'm gonna be listening to this Big Daddy Kane Drink Champs. I'm excited about that.
Oh, that's what's up.
You know what I mean?
That sounds like something.
That's a good look. Right. But until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
To get in the conversation.
Yes, y'all.
We out.
Yeah.
thing of it all is to be in the conversation.